Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Better off down here as we are joined by Mickey Callaway, the manager. Mickey, welcome. How are you?
Mike, nice to be here. I'm doing well.
My pleasure. Thank you. First, Rosario, is he okay?
I mean, yeah,
I
he's
heard
fine.
He got hit. I was in here. I wasn't watching
he's
the game.
He's fine.
So
he took one in the back of the hand. X-ray's negative, and he's going to be just fine.
I just had Tebow once. Let's start with him. You know, we took this as being a folly and a publicity stunt when it first started. He said, listen, I'm very serious about this. It's something I've always wanted to do. You know, I'm going to give it my best. What have you seen from Tebow?
Yeah, I see a worker. You know, I think Brody said it best. Don't ever, you know, count out.
He's an athlete.
Yeah. And he's Tim Tebow.
Right.
I mean, he's a worker. He does everything the right way. And he's going to put himself in the best position to have the opportunity to come up to the major leagues at some point. He put together a couple of good at-bats today, put some good swings on the ball, and he hit the ball hard.
So he's trying, right? I mean, he's giving
absolutely.
It his best shot.
He certainly is. There's nobody that's ever going to tell Tebow he can't do anything.
Dominic Smith, you know, guy who last year had a terrible year, which he admitted himself. He wasn't comfortable in left field, but he went out. He had the sleep apnea thing, and then he got himself in great shape. Everyone says he's having a great spring.
He's having a wonderful spring.
Good for him. You know, that's nice to see a guy turn it around.
He's such a good kid, you know, and he worked his butt off this winter to put himself in a position where he has more energy. He feels better. He's in shape, and he's ready to come out and compete. And he and Alonzo are kind of going blow to blow in the middle of the ring right now. It's pretty fun to watch.
It's funny. Both teams have these first base battles. You know, the Yankees have one with Voit and Bird.
That's right.
You guys
that's
have
right.
one with Alonzo and Smith. Right now. So how's it going right now? I mean, the worst thing, you could take them both in a platoon, right?
Yeah, exactly. That is something that we will definitely be open to doing. We're going to take our best 25 guys up there, and they're two of our best right now. So it's fun to watch. You'd love nothing more than two guys battling it out in spring training for a position.
Does Alonzo show you that there's no doubt with that power that he's going to be a major league guy?
Yeah, oh yeah, he's going to play in the big leagues. There's just no doubt about that. And he's another guy that's a worker, and it's a special talent at the plate. I mean, he's one of those guys, you sit in the dugout, when he comes up the plate, you feel like something good's going to happen.
You didn't have a lot of – I mean, listen, there were times last year you couldn't field an offensive team, but you didn't have a lot of depth last year. This year, you should. Now, you have a couple injuries with Frazier and with Lowry. First of all, are those restricting you seriously? Or how do you feel about those right now? Are they to the point where they're a problem, or is it still too early for them to be a problem?
Yeah, it's probably a little too early for it to be a problem. The good thing is, like you said, we have the depth to kind of overcome it if it becomes a problem at some point. So we'll see.
Yeah, you have more bodies this year, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, it shows up in spring training. It showed up just on the roster. When you sit in the office and you look at who we have coming to camp at the beginning of spring training, I had a pretty good feeling.
When you look at your pitching staff, and you got a great year out of Wheeler last year, how do you judge – that's the real Wheeler versus, you know, did the light just go on? He mentioned the split finger and how much it changed them. He thinks it made all the difference. I mean, it's the same thing. When you have a guy come up and have a one-hit wonder, like the Yankees have this Voit came up this year out of nowhere and just bombed it.
Yep.
Is he a one-hit wonder, or is that the real player? Same thing with Wheeler. Is that the real player we saw who was great the last 15 starts last year?
Being a pitching coach for some really good pitchers and having guys that had minimal success, and then all of a sudden they come out of
light
nowhere and they're winning Cy Youngs and battling for Cy Youngs, that's hard to predict. You just never
Very
know,
hard
Mike.
To predict.
You just don't know. You really don't. So what we want to do at all times is focus on the things that allowed them to have success last year.
Right.
Not worry about what happened in the past. That's over. And last year's over too. Okay, you pitched great. So what? You got to come out and work on the things that you did to give you success last year so you can continue getting better and better. So to predict what they're going to do is impossible, but we know what it takes to have success, and we're going to make sure that they do those things.
But that was legitimate quality stuff we saw from him last year. That wasn't just a hot run.
That's a top four pitcher in the game stuff, exactly.
When you inherit or trade for a guy like Diaz, who has put up crazy numbers in the first. I mean, here's a guy who was a closer at 22. And he just told me today he was a starter before that, which I didn't even realize. Right. And he becomes a closer and just lights out right from the start. Has a great year last year. How long does it take you to learn a guy like that and learn, you know, how he ticks, how you have to play him, how many days he needs all, everything else? How long does it take you to learn a guy like that?
Yeah, you know, a lot of communication, but it can take a minute. You know, we have to make sure that we know this kid. We have to know what makes him tick. Like you said, we have to understand the times that he says, I'm good, but he's really not, because that's what all players do, because they're competitors and they want to go out there and play for the fans and play for their career. And I get that. So we're going to have to start figuring that out during spring training. We're going to figure it out at the beginning of the season. And it's something that kind of always evolves. You're still learning, guys. But, usage-wise, these guys say they want to pitch.
Right.
You know, Andrew Miller. And when I had him in Cleveland, he said he was available every day even if you pitched him 5 days in a row, because he's the ultimate competitor. And you have to sometimes go up to him and say, hey, man, you're down today. It's not worth us pitching you.
When you inherit a guy like that, you're a pitching coach by trade. You have Dave Island. So do you ever try to fool with a guy like that? Or because he's been so successful, you just leave him alone?
You leave that guy alone.
I mean, he's a fastball slider. We know what he is. Just leave him alone, right?
Absolutely. He comes in, you leave him alone and let him go out there and close things
down. Just attack
hitters,
right?
Absolutely.
Because he's got to figure it out, right?
He does.
He says nothing bothers him. He says he doesn't worry about what happened the day before, which is what you want to hear from those guys.
Yeah, that's what you want to hear, and I truly believe it. If you're around this kid for 5 minutes, you see the smile. You see that he's not worried. He's not intimidated by anything.
No.
He's really easy going.
Rivera was that way. Yeah. Rivera was very much that way.
That's the quality you have to have as a closer. It's just like, hey, man, I had a bad day.
I got
day.
Burned. I gave up a home run.
More.
Yeah, that's it.
There's
no problem. Considering DeGrom and the year he had last year, what about getting him ready for his first start? And do you worry about the other things? The contract and all that. Do you worry about that playing on his head?
Yeah, I mean, I do. As the manager, you know, I have to. I have to make sure
that these guys
are good.
Do you want to talk about that, or you leave him alone about that?
You know what? We'll talk to him.
You will.
You know, if we see something, we'll talk to him. Okay. The thing about Jacob DeGrom, and we saw it last year with the lack of run support, nothing really bothers this guy.
No, he doesn't.
He's another easygoing guy, and that's what makes these guys successful. You know, he focuses on the next pitch. He's not worried about what happened or what's going to happen. He kind of lives in the moment, has fun. You see him out there smiling, you know, when Freddie Freeman's up. Right. They're kind of playing this little game, and he's winning Cy Young's out there with a smile on his face. So he's easygoing, but it's definitely my responsibility, Dave's responsibility, to make sure he's at a good spot mentally and not letting these outside factors affect him.
You know, Syndergaard's a little different character. I mean, then he's a little different. Things can bother him. We know that. And he's a little different. He's temperamental. Yeah. He's this, he's that, but he's got incredible stuff. So how about dealing with a Syndergaard?
He's fantastic. You know, I've worked with so many different personalities, and the one thing that I've learned in my coaching career, if anything, is that everybody's an individual.
They're all different.
Only thing I care about, do they want the ball, and do they work hard? And Syndergaard wants the ball. He works hard. And I love his personality. I think it's great for the game. I think it's great for our division.
Yeah.
He's feisty. He's going to let you know it, and he's going to come at you. So it's been great.
Matt's made 30 starts last year. That's a positive. You know, you want to get a lefty that he mature a little later. The one inning. He talked about the one inning with me today, about getting past that one. It's always the one inning that gets him. I mean, is it just get – you know, Andy Pettitte always talked about making the pitch when there's two guys on base. And Andy always said – he says, I was good at it because I had guys on base all the time.
Yeah.
But he was great at getting that double play ball, you know, and he always – he seemed to make that pitch – when the bases were loaded. That's when he'd make that pitch. How about getting a guy to do that?
Yeah, that's a great point, because it is about that one inning. It's not just that one inning with Mats or Pettitte. It's that one inning with everybody.
Right.
You know, if they have a bad game, it's that three spot that gets put up in the second or the third.
Yep.
So Matsy has really done a great job of implementing this little in-between pitch routine that he's really focusing on to kind of make him – focus on the moment and stay in the moment like DeGrom has this innate ability to do and not worry about the walk or the bad call or the error behind him. He's just focusing on this routine so he can focus on the next pitch, and he's doing a really good job of implementing that.
Do you believe in treating your – you've had a lot of success with pitchers. Do you believe in treating your pitchers all the same, or do you treat them all differently?
No, you treat them everybody differently.
Everyone differently.
Absolutely. You know, like I said before, they're all individuals. Something different makes each one of them tick. You joke around with DeGrom. You kind of pump Matt's up. You know, you let Syndergaard just kind of be. You have to treat all these guys different because they're all individuals, and they do things a different way than each other. But the end result, like we talked about, want the ball and work your tail off.
How about familiar with a new role? I mean, how about him adjusting now? He's been a closer for so long. How about, and we always got the stuff. How about him adjusting to a new role?
Yeah, I think he's going to be fine. You know, this kid is another guy, and you know, I hate to sound repetitive, but man, we got a great group of guys in that clubhouse.
They have a lot of stuff. These pitchers,
yeah. And they all have a smile on their face, man. They're going out there; they just want to win. And Familia knew coming in when we signed him that's going to be his role.
Right.
He accepted it. He wanted to be a Met because he loves the fans. He loves the city. And he's going to go out there and thrive in this position. You know, once you've been a closer, to go in there and pitch the eighth, it should be pretty easy. Not that it's ever easy to go out there and get an out at the major league level, but it's definitely a little less pressure. And maybe sometimes, you know what, we're going to use him in a bases loaded one out situation. We need that ground ball. That's going to be the biggest, highest leverage situation in the game.
Right.
And we're going to count on him to get it done.
Well,
I think he will.
He's got a lot of history of that. That's for sure.
That's right.
He's done that a lot. We're talking with Mickey Callaway. You know, talking to the guys who were the core of this lineup, Conforto had a big September after having a very questionable year. And he said September meant a lot to him, and really he was healthy, and it took a lot from September. You agree with that from that fact? I mean, a lot of guys don't like to look at what happens in September thinking they're facing bad pitches or guys who don't care and this and that. Don't worry about September statistics. But Conforto had a huge September last year.
He really did.
Maybe it was the first time he was healthy all year.
Yeah. And the thing about that is the teams we played, some of those teams in our division, they weren't messing around.
Right.
They were still trying to make
the
playoffs. So it wasn't like we were just playing a bunch of
chumps.
And
he had 10 homers and 30 RBIs in September.
Yeah, that's impressive for anybody to do. I don't care who the pitching is. But, you know, he got off to a slow start because he didn't have spring training. He's going to get a full spring training. He's totally healthy now. And we expect everything that September brought last year to continue into the games this year.
And Cano seems very – I've known him since he was a baby. He seems very content and very settled here in what is a leadership role, but also being back in New York, he seems very, very happy. And I think it just seems like it's the right place, right time for him right now.
It does, and he's always looked relaxed and content on the baseball field. I mean, this guy makes it look easy. It's ridiculous. So we're glad that he's bringing this leadership. And the thing I'm probably the most excited about with Cano, and he's shown it this spring training, is his approach at the plate, because that's what we need. We needed an adjustment in our approach, so we brought in Chili Davis. We brought in hitters that can take this approach, the Lowrys of the world, the Canos, and he's gone out there and backed it this spring training. When they're shifting him, he's just slapping the ball the other way and getting on. He's leading our team by the way he plays the game and his approach at the plate, and that's going to lead our offense to do something special.
If Conforto plays every day and right, you see a platoon in center field? I see Garris, Platoon, and Nimmo playing every day. How does that work out?
You know, it's going to be – I wouldn't call it a platoon. I think that all those guys are going to get significant playing time. Nimmo's going to get a lot of playing time.
Right.
He's going to be in left or center somewhere. He needs to be playing every day.
So you see Nimmo as an everyday player?
I do. Absolutely.
You think he can hit left-handers and everything?
I think he can.
Okay.
You know, I think that he's going to need some days off, and it'll probably be against a left-hander because it just makes sense.
Right.
But we need this guy at the top of the lineup getting on base with that 400 on base percentage.
You know, he showed power last year, and he had a high on base percentage. I mean, that's, you know,
absolutely.
That's a big year. He really, out of nowhere. I mean, really, if you look, he didn't have that kind of stuff in his background. He really came up with a big year last year.
Yeah, you want that guy to have 600 ABs if you can.
If you can, if you believe he can hit at lefties every day.
Absolutely.
What about Lagares? He's been here a long time. He's probably the longest current Met.
Yeah.
He's always hurt. We know he's a great center fielder. We don't know if he's an everyday hitter. We've never seen him be. So what are you expecting out of Juan Lagares?
You know, I'm just glad he's healthy. You know, he got off to a great start last year. He had a really good approach at the plate. He was driving everything back up the middle of the field. He was hitting 300, and then this fluke injury happens to him because he plays the game so hard. He keeps on getting hurt in that sense. But supreme defender, like you said. And, you know, I think that the way our team's built, whatever you get offensively out of Juan is a bonus. And I think he can do some things at the back of the lineup, slapping the ball up the middle and getting on base for these guys at the top of the lineup to drive in.
Wilson Ramos was a Met killer, killed him when he was in Washington. I mean, we looked the numbers up. He had 60 RBIs in 80 games. I mean,
wow.
Killed him. 12 homers. I mean, just absolutely 300 batting average. So we know he's a solid hitter, solid veteran guy. Says he likes to catch a lot. Says he wants to catch a lot. Says he's healthy, he can catch a lot. You want to push the envelope with him, or do you want to give your catcher a lot of time off, or you want to let him catch a lot of games?
I want to lean on him for how he feels, and I don't want to push him. You know, I think that he being healthy is a key to our team. We saw it last year. You lose one of those main catchers or two of those main catchers,
right,
and you're all of a sudden in a world of hurt. So we're going to make sure that we communicate with him, make sure he's in a good spot, monitor him. But we also need his bat in the lineup because he can do some damage, like you said. I mean, he can swing the bat. So
and
we want his
too.
Defense.
He's a
absolutely.
Yeah,
we want his defense out there. He can throw the ball. He can catch. He's going to call a great
good
game because he's prepared. So we want him playing as many times as he can, as long as he can be effective in that many
games.
He
could be as big a pickup as anybody on the team. He really could.
There's no doubt about it.
I mean, I know the Mets wanted Real Muto for a long time, and he's a really good player, but he could be a big pick. Ramos is a good player.
He's a great player.
A very good player on your team. You know, I still look and I worry that you don't have enough right-handed pop. That's what I look at, and I still see that. And Frazier's hurt already. I worry about that. Do you worry about that with your right?
Well, you know
the
what?
Right side?
I think that J.D. Davis, especially
you see a real
against
role
lefties.
For him?
If these injuries continue
to
happen,
would you bring McNeil in the third or not really?
We're considering that.
You're considering it.
It's obviously an option.
Right.
And we have to make sure that with our personnel, we make that right decision. So we're definitely keeping that in the back of our mind, continuing to discuss that. What's our best option? Bringing McNeil in. And then we got Pete Alonso. This kid's a special kid. Another double, another homer today.
Right.
And we talked about him, man. When he's standing up there in that box, the swing is so simple, you feel like there's going to be some damage done.
What do you need to see to tell you – now, forget the service time or whether that is an option or not. That's 2 weeks whether they – and the fans are going to scream if they – they're going to scream bloody murder. But forget that. What do you need to see them tell you that he's ready to be a major leaguer? What tells you he's ready?
You know, I think we got to see the rest of spring training. But what I've seen so far, this kid's going to play in the big leagues and be a contributor.
This year?
This year.
Okay.
He is quiet at the plate. That's one thing a pitching coach looks for. How does this guy take balls, right?
Right.
How does he take the ones that we execute in the dirt? How does he take it? Is he lunging out? This kid's so quiet. He doesn't chase.
He's confident.
And the other thing that you look for as a pitching coach, when you're trying to build an advanced report against a guy, what is he doing with two strikes or with runners in scoring position? And what makes Pete really good is he will go the other way.
Not just
He'll take a base hit to right to drive in a run. And when you're a pitching coach building an advanced report against a guy like that, you know this guy is going to be tough. And that's what I see as Pete's manager at this point.
Will his defense
hold him
back?
Things. I don't think so. Not at this point. The way he's looking in spring training, what we've seen, how much progress he's made, he looks pretty darn good over there to me.
And you haven't got a chance to see Lowry yet. What do you want to do with Lowry, though? Are you want to play him everywhere? Is that your idea? Is he your Ben Zobrist?
Yeah, he'll play multiple positions. You know, right. I don't think you'll see him in the outfield like Ben gets to play, but you'll see him at multiple positions. You know, he's an option at third as much as we want.
He can play
He can play first
play
if we
second.
Need to. He can fill
Although
in for
the second
Cano.
Baseman doesn't want to sit.
He's not going
to
want
to
sit.
You're going to have to fight him.
I'm going to have to fight him.
To get him out of the game.
That's
he
right.
He already told me that, too. He says
we're going to take care of him.
He doesn't want to come out of the game.
No, he doesn't. That's why he's a Hall of Famer.
I mean, that's
category.
It. He doesn't like
Absolutely.
To come out of the game. He's not one of those guys who believes in that stuff. So,
right.
And how about you? You had a you had a tough start last year. Brutal start. I mean, forget this. Forget the one day with the batting. What you know?
Right,
people
right.
make such a. It's amazing. People make so much out of one thing like that. To me, that's so silly. It's ridiculous. But that's things like that that follow you around. I mean, it's just the way it is. But. It was a tough year. It was a very tough year from that standpoint. What'd you learn from last year? I mean, you went through a hard season last year here. There's no question about it.
Yeah, we had a lot of ups and downs, and that's
not easy. I
mean,
your team didn't hit for a month. I mean, you had a whole month team didn't hit a lick.
You know, and our bullpen just underperformed.
Right.
So we made those adjustments. We made sure that we changed our approach at the plate. We made sure that we got our bullpen in order, and I think that's going to help us.
Did you learn a lot as manager,
too?
Oh,
my God. I learned a ton. And I think
now you were sitting next to a great manager in Cleveland. You're in you're in there talking with him, baseball with him every inning.
Absolutely.
You were brought up – Francona said you were ready to be the manager. Yep. But when you do it yourself, and he's not there anymore, and now it's you doing it, was it – something that really is a shock to the system? Is it different when it's you doing it? And now you've thought about being a manager for a long time as a pitching coach.
Yep.
You sit next to a great manager in Francona. Now you, the guy, was it a, you know, one coach, Rich Mancheris, who was a close friend of mine who died, a great basketball coach, said, you don't realize till you slide down that 18 inches on the bench what a difference it makes. Now it's not suggestions. Now they're all my decisions. Now I got to live with the decision. Now I make every decision. Now it's not, hey, I suggested this, you didn't do it. Now it's, I'm always right. Now I'm always wrong. Now I'm the guy. So now when it's you, how much different was it?
That you said it perfectly. It is different because you're making all the decisions. You know, the thing about me is I want to learn every day, and I'm going to get better and better every single day, and I'm going to understand what I need to do, what I need to change, and what I need to work on, and I'm always going to be diligent on those things. But you're right. It's a different role.
Do you have to think differently? Do you usually think the game – like I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. A guy who's a defensive coordinator becomes a head coach. He's too wrapped up in his defense. He's not thinking enough about his offense, his special teams. Did you worry too much about the pitching and not enough about the rest of the team last year?
No.
Was that something you had to fight against?
I'm always interested in pitching.
Which is the biggest part of baseball.
Absolutely.
But what about the rest of the game?
No. Yeah. I tried to make sure that I didn't do that.
Okay.
You know, I kind of stayed away from the pitching.
A lot of people fall into that trap, I think.
Absolutely. Because they have a passion for
it. That's
it.
That's your thing.
That's
your thing.
But, no, I tried to make sure that at every moment I was locked in on those position players. You know, they have something totally different to deal with.
Right.
And I respect that. Like, it's a much harder life being a position player than it is a pitcher, than pitching every fifth day or, you know, being a reliever, knowing you have days off. These guys come and play every single day. They grind it out. They're taking BP. They have to perform. And if they don't, it's tough. And you get to go back out there in the next day and try to perform again. And it's a grind for each one of them. So
well,
I really try to hone in on
that. Most managers will tell
you
that the hardest thing to do as a major league manager is to handle your bullpen in terms of not getting them overworked. And using it right, that's probably the hardest thing. That's your specialty.
Right. You have to be diligent about that. And that's probably the thing, managing, that's going to cost the most games.
Is your bullpen.
Because that's why
getting guys
people,
up
absolutely.
And everything else. Right.
Because if you mismanage your bullpen, you're going to lose games. You know, you put a lineup together and they go out and they perform.
Right.
And there's not a lot you can do. You can pinch hit.
Right.
You can double switch every now and again. And even if they're successful, there's a 25% chance that that's going to work out. You know, if you're a pinch hitter and you're double switching and they're hitting 250, you're happy.
Right.
But you have to run the bullpen the right way.
Yes.
And that's why we put the bullpen members we put in our bullpen this year, because we're going to have options in every inning that we feel comfortable with that they're going to go out there and get that job done.
What was the key to your success in Cleveland with the bullpen?
You know what? We had a great bullpen. That's the key.
Which
you
know,
you got Miller,
players.
You got Allen, you got Shaw, you got all high performers, and they went out there and did it. And then you have the ability to use them the way you want to. You know, they didn't have a great bullpen last year because they lost Shaw and Miller, and
right.
and that
they
makes
struggled
a difference.
In the bullpen last year.
Exactly, they had one of the worst bullpens in baseball.
Yep.
So it's personnel first. And then you have to make the right decisions, of course, once you have that personnel. And I think we have that personnel. Now it's my time to make the decisions.
You know, I think you've been put in a little bit of a tough spot this year, though, because a lot of people have called your team a team as good as anybody in your division. I'm not sure you have as good a personnel as some of the teams in your division. That might not be fair to you, that your personnel might not be up to a couple teams in this division.
You know what, Mike? I have to disagree with you on that. And it's not always just about talent. It's about what can this guy do to complement this guy, this guy, this guy.
So you're thinking chemistry is going to be a big factor.
Absolutely. And what can this guy do skill-wise that's going to benefit our team so the guy behind him can drive him in? That's what I look at when I see our team. I wouldn't take a different group of players if somebody paid me to. Our rotation.
Oh, we know
enough
that.
Said.
Enough said.
Our bullpen. I think it can compete with
could
anybody.
Be. I'm not the square. Not yet. Your lineup's not as good as some
the
of these
way
divisions.
Nemo can get on base for on base 400, you know,
right.
on base percentage.
Right.
Name another guy in our division that can do that. There's not one at the top of the lineup. There's nobody getting on base 400% of the time. Now you can have Conforto or somebody like that hitting second. We know what he can do when he's going good. You got Cano, Hall of Famer. He's the best second baseman in baseball, and he's going to be the best offensive second baseman in the National League. And then you got Pete Alonso, you got Ramos, guys that can hit the ball out of the park after these first three guys are getting on base. I like what I see. I like the depth. We're going to have guys like Frazier and Alonso and J.D. Davis hitting down 6th, 7th, 8th in the lineup at times, doing some damage.
So you think it's good enough?
Rosario, I do.
Okay.
And we're going to ride him all the way.
You think you're good enough to win this year?
Absolutely.
So, and you wouldn't trade your roster for anybody's in the divisions?
I love that group in there and the way they're going to complement each other. I think it's going to be something special.
Thanks and good luck. Thank
Absolutely.
You. Mickey,
Thanks, Mike.
You. My pleasure. Mickey Callaway back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.